markets in Asia take a fall overnight as relations between the U.S. and China sour even further.
We had the phase one trade agreement. Things looked like maybe they were calming down, and now it looks like some of that easing of tensions might be reversing.
We'll have the latest on the rift and the market impact. Plus, we don't know exactly where the economy is heading, but there are some ideas about what a recovery from the pandemic could look like.
You have a big drop, you have a sharp rebound, but you don't fully rebound.
A look at where things stand today and where we could be heading. We'll also tell you who's been hiring as certain jobs start to come back. It's Friday, July the 24th. I'm Mark Stewart with the Wall Street Journal, and this is What's News. China has given the U.S. 72 hours to shut down its consulate in Chengdu, another sign of the ongoing strain between the U.S. and China. It's a retaliatory move after the shutdown of China's consulate in Houston. The U.S. embassy in Beijing didn't immediately respond to a request for comment. The U.S.-China relationship was the focus of a speech yesterday by Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. He didn't explicitly call for a regime change, but he did urge the Chinese people to change the Communist Party, saying China's leader believes in, quote, bankrupt totalitarian ideology. He laid out how American policy will be different going forward.
If we want to have a free 21st century and not the Chinese century of which Xi Jinping dreams, the old paradigm of blind engagement with China simply won't get it done. We must not continue it, and we must not return to it.
China said the speech reflected a Cold War mentality. We'll talk in a little bit about how the tension is driving down stock prices. President Trump is canceling the Jacksonville, Florida portion of the Republican convention. It was originally set for next month. The decision comes as the state deals with a recent rise in COVID-19 cases.
There's nothing more crowded than a convention. A convention, I mean, you've seen them. And even though you try and keep people away from each other, it's just not that kind of a thing. They probably can't do that. It just doesn't work for them. So it's very hard. So I think we're setting an example by doing it. It's very important.
Delegates will still travel to Charlotte, North Carolina for nomination formalities. The president said he will give an acceptance speech, but didn't say where. Democrats have already scaled back convention plans, urging delegates and officials not to attend in person. Joe Biden is expected to accept his party's nomination in Milwaukee. We're reporting an American fighter jet flew close to an Iranian passenger plane. The intercept happened near a U.S. airbase in Syria. Iranian state media reported several passengers were hurt after the plane made an abrupt descent. The U.S. says the intercept complied with international standards. Up next, after some strong rallies, markets in Asia reverse as the U.S.-China relationship deteriorates. We'll talk to our markets reporter coming up. Asian markets closed sharply lower today, with the biggest losses in China, as traders eye the increasingly troubled relationship between Washington and Beijing. Here's our markets reporter, Caitlin Ostroff.
So investors have been watching for renewed tensions between the U.S. and China for some time now, and we're starting to see some of it feed through more into investor sentiment. And so investors are looking at the situation and going, you know, we had the phase one trade agreement. Things looked like maybe they were calming down. And now it looks like some of that easing of tensions might be reversing. And so investors are just getting a little bit more weary of jumping into assets that might be prone to disruption or prone to, you know, other forms of retaliation should things escalate further.
And as we wrap up a big week of earnings news, among those reporting today, Verizon and American Express will also get fresh data on new home sales. Time for a quick break. When we come back, we'll try to construct a roadmap for the economic recovery as we enter the second half of an unprecedented year. We might have talked this morning about the $1 trillion pandemic stimulus bill the Republicans released yesterday, but it didn't come out as planned because of differences with the White House on unemployment insurance and direct cash payments. Republicans say they'll have something next week. This is the latest development following a lot of news affecting our economy, so we're bringing in our chief economics commentator, Greg Ip, to get some perspective. Greg, great to have you here.
Thanks for having me, Mark.
As you know from our reporting, people are having a hard time. Businesses are closing. The new unemployment data shows a little bit of a spike. Big picture, how is the U.S. economy doing at this moment?
So the overall numbers do look pretty bad if you look at things like unemployment and so forth. But, you know, relatively speaking, the U.S. actually isn't doing so badly. Gross domestic product, which is kind of the gold standard of how the economy is doing, it's probably down around 10% in the first half of the year. That's a lot. That's more than almost any other recession. But it's actually a lot less than most other countries. In a lot of Europe, it's down like 20%. And even if you look at the jobless numbers, which are quite bad with unemployment in double digits, in a certain sense, they overstate how badly things are doing because a lot of the people who've lost jobs haven't actually seen their incomes go down because they've received things like stimulus checks and they've received enhanced unemployment insurance benefits. And as a result, their ability to spend and take care of their families hasn't been seriously impaired. In fact, if you look at some numbers like retail sales, we're actually back above levels we were before the pandemic. So partly because we've had so much federal stimulus, we've been able to really soften the economic blow of the pandemic.
Let's talk about stimulus. There's obviously ongoing discussions about extension, a lot of conversation about how the money should be allocated. But at the end of the day, it's a tool to help move things forward. Yet, we're not quite there yet.
Well, that's absolutely right, Mark. The original concept behind stimulus was this is going to be a bridge. We're going to shut the economy down for a few months, and then we'll send these checks to workers and households and businesses so they can stay afloat during the shutdown. The pandemic will recede, and then businesses will reopen, and then the government money won't be needed any longer. That's not really how it's worked out, though. We got the pandemic under control in the early outbreak states in the Northeast, and then it re-erupted across the South and the West, and it's not under control. And the bad news is that after reopening a lot of businesses, some states and cities have stopped the process of reopening, and some are actually starting to close down again. On Thursday, we got some very bad news. The number of people filing for unemployment insurance claims, which is kind of like a real-time indicator of layoffs, it went up for the first time in 4 months. So the unfortunate situation we're in right now is that our bridge is kind of like ending before we got to the other side of the canyon. And that's not a good place to be.
Let's look to the beginning of the pandemic. Initially, it was described as a health crisis, not as an economic crisis. But we are now months into this. Is it fair to say that we have made this perhaps unfortunate transition?
Oh, very much so. I mean, if you go back to March, I don't think people were thinking very hard about what the economic consequences would be of these social distancing measures and these restrictions. The words over and over again, the mantra was the virus gets to decide when the economy reopens. When the virus is under control, the economy can reopen. Nobody ever really asked the question, well, what if the virus is never under control? Does that mean the economy can never reopen? We know there were some places that did actually do quite well in terms of getting the virus under control. Places like South Korea and Hong Kong that managed to be so vigorous with testing and tracing that they didn't actually have to shut down the economies altogether. Places like Germany and New Zealand that used their shutdowns to actually build up testing and tracing capacity so that they could reopen without the virus coming back. And then there's a place like Sweden that said, well, we're not actually going to do either of those things. We're just going to let the virus spread because we don't want to shut the economy down. And frankly, that was a coherent economic choice, notwithstanding the fact that more people died as a result. Here in the United States, we didn't really seem to make any of those choices. We shut ourselves down. We unfortunately did not make use of that time to build up our testing and tracing capacity. We reopened before the virus had been truly suppressed, and now it's coming back. And so we're sort of in the worst of both worlds with a virus that's not under control and an ongoing economic crisis.
The Wall Street Journal's chief economics commentator, Greg Ip. Greg, please come back soon.
Thanks for having me, Mark.
And finally, even though we saw a jump in unemployment claims this week, we did see a hiring surge during late spring and early summer. It happened as states lifted their lockdowns. Still, companies have a long way to go before they replace the jobs lost because of the pandemic. The WSJ's Kim McCrail tells us where the jobs are.
The sectors that have been doing a lot of hiring recently include healthcare providers. We're talking about people who work in dentists' offices, doctors' offices, restaurants, some retailers, usually specific retailers. A handful of industries have actually added more staff than they had before the pandemic started. One example is logistics companies. Part of that might be linked to more people shopping online since the pandemic started. And others are big box stores, Walmart, Costco. They've done a lot of hiring. Securities and investment firms are also among those who've added more jobs.
And that's what's news for Friday. If you like the show, please rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts. As always, more on these stories on WSJ.com and our app. I'm Mark Stewart with The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.